we've been asked to discuss some points on the Vaishnava etiquette.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Achar.
What is the Sanskrit? Where does that come from? Guru? Achara. And what's the root?
So the achar is coming from this achara, meaning to act, to do.
Achar karte acharan karte acharan shei bhabe kaaj kora.
So the main thing about the whole is the process. It's what you do. Because the mentality is the most important. But the whole point is that it will be expressed. The mentality should be expressed. We're not in person. Means that when you do something, I mean you're thinking something, a mentality is there, then this must be acted upon. It's not enough just to think it, you must also do it. So then we see in this, these activities, then the most important element of it is the qualities. So generally we think of, okay, Vaishnava etiquette means I wear my chadar like this, or I say acha like this or that, these kind of things. But that is, it's actually the qualities by which these things are done. Like we see here in the qualities of a devotee, then what, kind to everyone, does not quarrel with anyone. Fixed in the absolute truth, equal to everyone. Benevolent, peaceful. So these qualities are there in the devotee. And Narad Muni, he is explaining to Yudhishthir Maharaj about the qualities of a human being. So he also starts off truthfulness, mercy, austerity. Bathing twice a day, tolerance. We see Brahmins, then peacefulness, self-control, austerity. So all these different qualities are there. Intelligence, then it starts with humility, pridelessness. Right? Non-violence, simplicity, then approaching a bona fide spiritual master. So this then, we see that the etiquette is completely based on qualities.
Etiquette.
If these are understood and practiced, then the culture, the Vaishnav culture, can be established. And if these aren't done, then externally we may have something that looks like the culture, but is not so much. Right? Otherwise, we also see sahajiyas are following, smartas are following, so many are following. Right? So externally, it looks like they are following very nicely the etiquette. But it's not necessarily, because we see the mood, proper mood, may or may not be there. Not good. Good, no? What's happening?
You shouldn't switch them because there's more people that need to hear the background.
Yours should work. His should work.
No, this one should have sound, but that one you have to keep.
Otherwise, we won't bother. So this is very important to understand. Very important to understand this point, that the culture is dependent upon us developing good qualities. And these good qualities come by trying to apply the Krishna conscious activities and philosophy. So now, Rupa Goswami then, Now, in these activities, there's so many activities one can do. Right? So we're trying to perform activities on the transcendental platform. So now, what we're going to work with is not spiritual. Right? Means our body is not spiritual. Our mind is not spiritual. Our intelligence and senses are not spiritual. Our identity is not spiritual. And the paraphernalia that we're going to work with in this material world is not spiritual. Right? In fact, it doesn't even work. Right? So, now, if we're going to deal on the transcendental platform, then you have to have and work within this material world, then you have to have the best quality things to use in the Lord's service. So within this material world, what is the best? The best is the mode of goodness. Right? Passion and ignorance are not actually very of a good standard. Right? In ignorance, you will not be able to apply the knowledge of Krishna consciousness properly. And the passion will not be able to, to us to apply the activities of Krishna consciousness properly. Right? Because material desire will get in the way. So that leaves us the mode of goodness as the best possible situations or quality to use in the Lord's service. Because we're going to engage these things in Krishna consciousness, material things. So they must be spiritualized. Right? They must be empowered by the chit potency. Right? And the devotion with devotion. So that means these qualities in the mode of goodness, these are the things that are best empowered by the transcendental platform. So therefore, that's why Krishna recommends that the qualities and the activities, then they are of the mode of goodness. And that creates the best thing to be empowered in the Lord's service. But those qualities on their own, they are not anything overly special. Right? It means the deer are very gentle. Deer. The harinas. Yeah, monkeys are very simple, right? Just live under a different tree every night. Right, the pigeons are non-violent. Yeah, so these qualities on their own, nice, but still, doesn't make it spiritual. Therefore, we have to be very careful to not think just because we're following very nice culture that therefore it is transcendental. Right? It must be empowered with the internal potency. Right? Under the direction of the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. In the same way, the opposite is that because we're doing an activity and we're doing it for Krishna, therefore it's done for Krishna, then it's not good enough to say, that's it, that's all, I've done it for Krishna, it doesn't matter if I did it in the mode of passion or ignorance. Right? Because Krishna is recommending that the qualities you should use to be empowered should be in the mode of goodness. Right? The work is for Krishna. So therefore the work should be of the best quality, that in the mode of goodness. And that is offered to Krishna. Right? Plus result is Krishna's. So things done in the mode of goodness give the best results. If we do something in passion or ignorance, the result will not be so good. We may say, oh, it doesn't matter, because the result's not for us, it's for Krishna. Right? But if we care for Krishna, we want Him to get the best result. Therefore, things in the mode of goodness. But we should never think because we're doing things in the mode of goodness, it is perfect.
It is
perfect.
His mode
of goodness is still imperfect because passion and ignorance is still there in small quantity. So now Rupa Goswami, then after developing these basic qualities, recommends that we approach the spiritual master. So this means we start to learn. We approach the spiritual master from the aspect of siksha. That we start to learn how to behave and act and have the mentality of a devotee. Because the mentality has to come from above, not that we make it up. Right? Or you've just seen someone else do it.
Right?
In our village, so many Vaishnavas are there rolling on the ground. Right, so therefore, yes, I know all about this Vaishnava culture. No, we have to hear from authority. And that authority is based on tradition, and is because it is coming from Krishna. So then, once we understand the culture and the basic philosophy, and we have proper faith in the process, that this process will actually make me happy, will take me back to Godhead. Then the next stage is taking initiation from the spiritual master. And then very seriously accepting instruction from the spiritual master. Right? And then we must, next is then inquire from the spiritual master. Right? On spiritual subject matters. Right? Not should I get married or should I not get married, or should I do this business, that business, should I wear this dhoti, that dhoti, should I clean my right ear or the left ear, which finger I should use. No, it means important things for perfecting human life. How to develop the proper qualities, the proper attitudes. Then from there, these externals will be able to be applied. They'll be clear.
Mm-hmm.
And one approaches the previous acharyas through one's acharya. So we see that the whole process is based on instruction. Initiation or diksha is only so that we will be serious about the process. And we are accepted by Krishna as someone who is serious about the process. And what is that process? That is hearing from the spiritual master and following the instruction. Then we become perfect. Diksha is based on Divya Gyan or transcendental knowledge. So we see that this is the most important element. So then, what is important? It's because we have taken shelter of a spiritual master, means we're hearing instructions from him. Then we see the importance or the speciality of our line. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave this particular parampara because it's based on instruction. It's not based on diksha, it's based on siksha. Means everybody has diksha guru. But the important element is that is the instruction, who you're hearing from, how you're following it. That makes things special. Right? That is disciple. Right? So we see that therefore knowledge is an important element within activity, within the etiquette. Means the sentiment is connected with the activity.
Right?
But it must be based on knowledge. Based on tradition. Right? So sentiment is not enough. Same time, intelligence is not enough. Both must be there. Right? Then there is a proper balance. So activity done in proper understanding, in a proper mood, gives the proper result. Otherwise, the result will not be very good. If it is sentimental, it may increase some sentiment, but sentiment has a tendency to come and go.
Right?
And if it's not, because knowledge encourages goodness. Otherwise, sentiment sometimes can encourage passion or ignorance. So one has to be very careful to just base one's life only on one or the other. Right? One has to have both. Then it can work nicely. So now in this, we must then understand, where do we get this knowledge from? We're getting from the spiritual master. But where is the spiritual master getting this knowledge from? From Srila Prabhupada. And where is he getting this knowledge from? From the previous acharyas. Right? So, founder acharya, pratishtha acharya, means he takes what all the acharyas before have given and makes that into one complete package, that you get everything. And then everyone following him is going to follow his siksha. They will not make up their own siksha. If they make up their own siksha, then they are not bona fide. Okay, they've taken diksha in the proper line. They may be practicing properly as proper Brahmins. Yeah, so diksha, you could say, yes, bona fide. But as we see, diksha is the small part and siksha is the main part. So if that siksha is not proper, then what is the meaning? So we must always be very careful to see that siksha is the whole impetus in the process. Diksha simply means I'm going to continue this siksha that I've already started. Right? Not that the diksha, that means now I become spiritually perfect. The life of the diksha is siksha. So we always must see that the instructions are the foremost in our life. Are there any questions on this? Yes.
Sometimes it seems that to some kind of service, people involved would have best to get better results, for example, management, good distribution. But I'm not sure if it's really better result or not. Maybe sometimes they can speak big books, but for a short period.
So the question is sometimes we see that we may get better results from using the mode of passion or ignorance in Krishna's service, like in management or in book distribution. But then, is it in the long run actually better? Means we must understand Krishna's recommending the mode of goodness, but mode of passion can be used. But there is a weakness to using them. Because passion starts out really great today and ends up not so nice tomorrow.
Right?
We distribute lots of books today and they close the airport tomorrow. Or we're very fired up today and then tomorrow we're not. Right? Or we got it managed today, but tomorrow there's no devotees in the temple. Right? So we have to see is that result has to be bigger than, you know, just seeing from this moment to lunch, you know, or maybe till tomorrow morning, or maybe this week. Means one must be practical, one must get things done. But there's unlimited ways to do something. Right? Material energy is unlimitedly mutable. Unlimited variety. Right? So, therefore, in accordance with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we see which way we will choose to get something done. Right? So the bigger our vision, and the more we're able to apply that vision according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the better our result. Right? So the biggest vision is always the mode of goodness. Vision. It's always the mode of goodness. Because it is based on knowledge. And the mode of goodness is maintenance. Passion creates, ignorance destroys. But goodness maintains. You know, so therefore one has to see what is going to work. But if someone is very passionate, then they may be engaged in a passionate way. Because the point is you must engage people according to their nature. So if you have very passionate people, then you engage them in very passionate activities. But it's understood they're not going to stay in that passion. By engaging that passion in Krishna's service, they become purified. Right? And slowly, slowly they'll be purified, so then we'll be able to engage them in a more balanced way. But if we demand everyone must come to platform of goodness before starting devotional service, then we might not get very far. But this must be fitting into the bigger vision, not that this becomes the vision. The vision is these people are in the mode of passion, I will engage them, but with time I will preach and purify them and bring them to the proper platform. Of course, something engaged in Krishna's service, as we mentioned before, that is what we're trying to do.
So,
better something in the mode of passion engaged in Krishna's service than something in the mode of goodness not engaged in Krishna's service. But best is that we can come to that platform that we can be steady. Nishtha means steady.
Nishtha means steady.
Right. And anartha means passion and ignorance.
Anartha means rajogunata.
Or the passion and ignorance that's within the goodness. So, like that. Does that make some sense? Yes. So question is that we were discussing siksha and its importance, and also that this siksha is coming from Prabhupada. So could someone take shelter of Prabhupada's siksha and not take diksha from anyone and go back to Godhead? So, taking siksha without diksha is on the platform of sadhu sangha. But we see Rupa Goswami has given 9 aspects of the devotional process. So bhajana kriya becomes perfect when diksha is accepted. Because Krishna wants to see that connection with someone. The spiritual principle is we're going to serve Krishna under one of his devotees. And we're going to serve that one devotee under a devotee. And we're going to serve that devotee under another devotee. Right? In this way, dasan or dasan or dasala comes back to us. So diksha is important. Otherwise, why it wouldn't come? Why would it not be accepted? Right? Basically, due to lack of faith. So faith is the essential element in the whole thing. When faith matures, it becomes prema. So part of the development of faith is diksha, bhajana kriya. Because otherwise, then there's not going. How one's going to perform the process properly? In the conditioned state, then ritual is necessary. So that those religious processes are given to us through diksha. We are performing all our deity worship through diksha. Right? The samskars and all that is also being done through that medium.
Samskara.
So it's essential. But it should not overpower siksha. Right? Because the whole idea of taking diksha is now we are committed to seriously hearing from the spiritual master.
Right?
Many times you see, someone sees somebody, they like their class or their kirtan. Maybe they smiled nicely. Or they like the way they dress or walk. You know, any variety of things can invoke some sentiment. Right? Then without associating with that person on the platform of instruction, then we think, I will take initiation. Then after diksha, then spiritual master tells us something. And then we say, why is he telling me like that? Right? So what's the meaning of that whole process? First you establish a siksha relationship. If it works, then you think about diksha. Right? That's how it works. Right? In a marriage you think, oh, here may be a nice person, nice boy, nice girl. But first you check what is the culture of the family, the values of the family. Yeah, and then you check the astrology, see is there compatibility. And then you go and you see the families, how they behave, how they act, what is their culture. Are you able to get along well? Right? And if that's seen yes, then there is marriage. Right? They don't have the marriage and then afterwards they find out that, you know, oh, husband's going to tell wife something or wife is going to want something. What is this? So the whole point is the relationship is based on siksha. So first you must see that the siksha relationship works. If it works, then one takes diksha. And then the relationship based on siksha will continue to work. So this we have to see. Just that they have a nice smile is not enough. Like that. It's a popular way of deciding, but it's not necessarily the most, you know, the best. So one must have that, one must follow the process, one must have that faith, then following Prabhupada's instructions under the direction of a devotee, see that we're following properly Prabhupada's instructions, that will give us good results.
Right?
Otherwise, just to say, I'll just follow Prabhupada's instructions and don't care for anybody, guru, anybody. Then how do we know we're following?
Right.
Especially when Prabhupada says we must approach the present link. Is that okay? Yes.
Sometimes you use statement that the West is the world, the West is very prominent. So my question is, is it possible to live a Western lifestyle if the world is in the West? And live in the Western way, and still live a spiritual culture, meet with the spiritual.
And live the spiritual culture.
If they develop spiritual qualities. They develop the spiritual qualities.
Okay. So the question is since, means I'll say what was said. Since it is seen that the West is the world, right? That's another discussion, but whatever, this is what was said. So, therefore, then, so can one in the West live a Western lifestyle with Western values and Western everything, and in this way attain to, you know, the proper Vaishnav qualities and culture, and become, you know, become fully Krishna conscious, perfect one's life. See, Krishna recommends the activities in the mode of goodness because they are the best for being empowered with the spiritual potency. But the material energy is all belongs to Krishna. So therefore anything can be connected to Krishna. Right? You just have to know how. But now the thing is by connecting Western things, I mean, let's say not things, but Western culture. Then we will get the spiritual result. But we will also get the Western, we will also get the Western material result. Right? Means to think you're taking something material and doing an activity with it. That will give a result. Every action gives a reaction. Right? But we're also empowering that, touching that to something spiritual. Right? So two results we're getting. Right? One is the spiritual result. The other is the material result. So the spiritual result we'll get. But the material result we will also get. Right? You understand? So, but the thing is we see the Western culture seeing that it's not necessarily what Narad Muni accepts as a human platform, it will also get a subhuman material result. So therefore you see that someone is following, they're advancing spiritually.
Right?
24 languages?
At the same time, they're getting the nice Western results of, you know, broken marriages, broken families, you know, all kinds of, you know, wonderful things that is, you know, how you say, you know, the birthright of Western attitudes and culture. You understand? So that's the thing, is that it can be done, but one should not expect another result. And one should not consider that the result is better than a result based on piety. Materially, it's of a lower standard. The fruit is of a lower standard. Right? The emotions are of a lower standard. And the maintenance of anything is of a lower standard. It doesn't last. Right? In India, you have families with money. How long is it lasting? Generations. Okay. Those with money, as long as you've known, they've had money. But that's not the common position in the Western culture. Right? A few people, yes. A few families, yes. Okay, you've heard of them. And if you go and check, you'll see that their life is a little more simple, a little bit more based on, you know, proper human values. But they're not common. It's not what you see on the television. Right? Yeah, who wants to hear about them? Right, you can make an exciting television program about some nice pious family, you know, living in some village in Bengal. Right. Husband very nicely does all his duties and takes care of his family very lovingly. Right. Wife is doing her duties and it's such a wonderful, nice family relationship. How many shows would you be able to show on the television? Right? One day maybe? You think they'd even last through the whole show? Right? The commercials would be more exciting. Right? Because at least there's some passion and ignorance there.
Right.
You have all these fired up people telling you, you without these cigarettes you're going to die.
You have all these very enthusiastic people telling you without some cigarettes you're going to die.
Right? So much more exciting, you know, dressed nicely, running around, saying so many things. Right? So therefore, passion and ignorance is what is exciting. Therefore, and people base their life on what they see on the television. Right? So then, Therefore, these values that even are few left in the West, you're not going to see. Even these good values that are there in the West, you're not even going to, who's going to see them? So the difficulty comes is that anything can be used in Krishna's service. But those that are engaged that through the mode of goodness then have a, give a more peaceful atmosphere in which to steadily perform your devotional activities. Right? Means it's much easier to does that make some sense? Therefore, and at the same time, just because you can use it doesn't make it superior or equal. It is inferior. And it has to be accepted as such. That's called knowledge. That's intelligence. Right? Then we see that as we become purified, we improve the quality. Right? It is Krishna's service, so why should we engage inferior things in Krishna's service? Right? If I have a silver plate and I have an aluminum plate, why will I use the aluminum one to make an offering to Krishna when I have a silver one? Okay, 10 years ago I had no money, all I had was the aluminum one, so I'm offering, yes. But now I have the silver one, so why I will use the aluminum? It's below standard. Right? But something's better than nothing. Better service is done than no service is done. But the first principle is humility. Therefore, one will understand that it is inferior, but this is all I can do. And that humility will bring us to the higher platform. But if we're proud and we say, no, this is correct, this is right. 30 years ago when we were, you know, stinky, smelly hippies, we did like this, so therefore today we're also going to do. This is pride. That means we don't have knowledge, we don't have vision. Right? So therefore we're going to continue to get a disturbing material results. Lack of proper dealings, lack of proper interaction. Right? Lack of funds, facilities. Right? All these things are there. That make any sense? Okay. It's a science, so it's not a matter of sentiment or opinion. It's just the way it is. That makes sense.
Yes. Maharaj, I was still confused about the working on platform of passion and goodness, because if you have descriptions of the great saints, represent the kings in the Bhagavatam. And the kings are generally working in a mode of passion. And I remember one statement where it says that the saintly kings are as good as the rishis. Yet they seem to be working on the platform of passion.
Question is that in the Bhagavatam, then we see that there is the great saintly kings, and kings are known to be in passion. So then, but these Rajarshis are said to be as good as the saintly persons. So it seems confusing. So here we have to distinguish between the consciousness and the way in through which we use something. Right? Because everything in the material world is controlled by the modes of nature. Right? Means if we're so one has to see what is the purposes and what is the authority. Right? Let's just say like you want to cook. So cooking itself is creation. Right? So that means passion. You're going to be using the senses which are coming from passion. You're going to be using the intelligence which also has expanded from passion. Right? You're going to be using a knife and cutting things, so you're breaking it apart. So that's ignorance. That's destruction. Right? You're grinding spices, you're destroying. You know, it had a shape, now you're destroying that shape. So that's ignorance. Right? And the mind is, you know, thinking of this and that, so many things, accepting this, rejecting that. Mind is coming from goodness. Right? The pot itself, you have a brass pot, that came from passion by beating. Right? But that's not what you're looking at. You have to look at why are they cooking? What is the goal of their cooking? Right? So the first thing is they're cooking for Krishna. So therefore it's perfect. Right? Then the other thing to look at is what is the authority for what they're cooking. Right? Are they cooking it at times and in such a way for Krishna's offering? And what's the authority? Just they decided to cook? Or it's coming from the Shastra, Guru, Sadhu? Some authority is coming. The items that they're using, you could cook anything, you could cook a bicycle, but the items they're using are also from the Shastra. Right? But it's coming, so according to the Shastra, you're cooking these certain preparations, you know, for the Lord at this particular time of the day. So therefore, because it's according to Shastra and it is for Krishna, then we see the goodness and pure goodness, then they are the principles underlying it.
Shastra,
Right? So the king is performing his religious duties. That is in the mode of goodness, because that's dharma, that's religiosity. His tools may be passion. Right? But that's not what we're looking at. Does that make sense?
So he's actually in the mode of goodness, yet he's working through the mode of passion.
Yeah.
Actually,
yes. They're in the... So the comment, the point is... Yeah. Comment is that they're working... They're in the mode of goodness, but the tools that they're using are in the mode of passion. So that is the thing. In the Vedic system, means without devotees, not being devotees, then Shudras are in ignorance using tools in ignorance. Vaishyas are in passion ignorance using tools in passion ignorance. Kshatriyas are in passion using tools in passion. Brahmins are in goodness using tools in goodness. But in the Daivavarnashram system, which means the devotional system of using religiosity, then Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they're all in goodness because they're doing it for Krishna. Right? And their consciousness is in pure goodness, transcendental. But their tools are still in goodness, passion, and ignorance. Therefore, there's still rules on how the Brahminical tools will interface with the Kshatriya tools, with the Vaishya tools, with the Shudra tools, like that. So, the devotees are on the same platform. And the transcendental position of the work is on the same transcendental platform. But the quality, the work itself still carries the nature of which mode it's in. Therefore, the culture of relationships and hierarchy and social strata is still there in relationship to the work, not to the individual and not to the consciousness. So therefore, someone is running a business and someone is selling cloth in that business. Both are devotees. Both are transcendental. So when it comes to the spiritual platform, they may be equal. But when it comes to business, the Vaishya tells the Shudra what to do. But when it comes to who gives Bhagavatam class, who leads the kirtan, that doesn't matter. Who's qualified does. That's a different thing. Right? It's not that because now we're devotees and we're using it in Krishna's service, so the cauliflower cuts the knife and we cook the knife for lunch. No, the knife still cuts this cauliflower and we eat the cauliflower. Yeah, right? Chakru chachari. You give little sorsha bata, little kachalanka, very tasty. Nice, isn't it? Then you afterwards you wash the cauliflower nicely. And hang it up, you know, on the shelf where the other knives are. Like that. Isn't it? Because now we're devotees, so all these things. So the knowledge still has to be used. What time is it? 6 o'clock. Okay. So we're supposed to end here. Because 6 o'clock is... So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Deta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jaini Tai Gaur Vrinda. This is being done for Krishna. Krishna likes it that much. He doesn't like it that much. You know? So that's the thing. But just because we do it nicely doesn't mean that it's perfect. That's generally what we think, is that we're so used to material energy that when material energy gives a good result, then it's good. No. What's good is that it's used in Krishna service. And then we use good things in Krishna service, we should get a good result. Like that. If we don't, then we get a bad result. Generally means that we didn't use the material energy properly. We didn't behave properly. We didn't, you know, like that. But still, ultimately, it's up to Krishna. So we could do things properly, and Krishna may give you a bad result just because, for some reason, for others' benefits, or to give example of how somebody reacts at a bad situation, or our consciousness or something was wrong.
This principle of passion and goodness can be applied to yoga. And you get the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita that one has to barab with you, and then this verse is there. They try to control the mind with intelligence. Higher intelligence is the soul. This is all about yoga, but if you say that the intelligence is created from the mode of passion, and the mind is created from the mode of goodness, then you see like the passion is ruling over goodness.
It's not ruling over, it's a tool. Because the mind, it accepts and rejects, but it's accepting and rejecting based on passion. So therefore you control an uninformed passion with an informed passion. You understand? The mind itself is in goodness. But what does the mind do? The function of the mind. Accept and reject. Okay, now if it is accepting and rejecting based on the transcendental, then the intelligence has no, the material intelligence has no position. That's why Gyan finishes at Brahmabhuta. Right? But if the mind is accepting and rejecting based on material desire, and desire is passion, therefore the sentimental desire, passion, is controlled by logical, or passion with knowledge. Right? Because activity is coming out of knowledge, Saraswati. That will be coming from that, the reflection of the chit potency. Chit potency is knowledge. So in this world, that's passion. So that means there's knowledge and there's activity. So that can control the just the sentiment. In other words, knowledge controls sentiment. Like that. Sentiment shouldn't overwhelm knowledge. Because of the two, the knowledge is the higher principle. That's why jnana is higher than the karma. Right? But when it comes to devotional service, the two have to be put together. Otherwise, they're both. Because in one sense,
because it seems like explaining example that all the three modes have their good aspects and their bad aspects.
If you use them according to how Krishna directs, then they have proper good aspects. If you don't use it how Krishna directs, then it only has bad aspects. Because Krishna made the place, so he tells you, pious means it gives good result. Impious means it gives bad result. It's that simple. But good or bad result, if it's not engaged in Krishna service, it's useless. Bad result can also be used in Krishna service, because we've done so many things in the past, we're getting the results now. And so then we lose everything. Okay, that's not a pious result. Right? So, but we use that to surrender to Krishna. Or if we get a pious result, we get so much wealth and facility, then we use that in Krishna service. But otherwise, we can get all that wealth and all that, and then get into enjoying spirit, forget Krishna. You know, because we become elated in happiness. Or then we lament in distress and forget Krishna. So the essential thing is whether we engage in Krishna service or not, whether it touches Krishna. That's the thing that we want. It should touch Krishna. And since it's being engaged in Krishna service, it should be something of good quality, as Krishna directs. So Krishna gives Dharma. Right? Dharma is coming from Krishna. Dharmantu sakshat bhagavat parikam. It's coming from Krishna. Therefore, why is Krishna coming? So there's yadat, yadat, yadharmas. He comes to establish it whenever it goes. So therefore, Krishna is the one who's worried about this Dharma. So therefore, that's his system. But that's not his ultimate system. It's only a tool for getting out of this material world. The Dharma helps us get out. At the same time, it's a medium through which we can show devotion. So it does dual core purpose. It gets us out of the material world, and it's the medium through which we offer our devotion. But we have the tendency to want to use Dharma for karma, artha, and kama. But the Bhagavatam is saying that's not what should be done. It should be used for liberation. But it, not just regular liberation, ultimate liberation. So that means the devotion. Without devotion, you won't get prema. If you just perform Nishkam Karma Yoga, you'll get to the Brahma Bhuta platform and stop. But if it's done with devotion, then you'll get to the Brahma Bhuta platform and keep going till prema. So it's a very subtle point, because there's an overlap of things. Chinta Veda Veda, these things are going on simultaneously. Therefore, if one emphasizes one side, you know, say, okay, we don't need all this, we'll just chant and that's all. Yes, but then how do you gauge your conditioned nature? That's what the sahaja is saying. And then the other side is, yes, we must have all this Dharma. Unless we follow all this, then it's all going to hell. And, you know, all these people aren't following, so, you know, what kind of devotees are they? And useless, this, that, you know, morality, this, rule, that. That's the smartness. So that's Niyamagraha. So the devotional path is in between both of these. Neither of them represent.
So how would you preach? How would you practically preach this in the West? That's right.
No, the West is just we're worried about change of consciousness. If you work, see, there's a difference between us as devotees who have the knowledge and how we behave, and those who don't have the knowledge. The point is change your consciousness. That's all. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Just change your consciousness. Whatever you're doing, just add Krishna. That's all. It'll become perfect. Because with time, once they add Krishna, they will. If you have the association of devotees and you hear about all these other things in a way that they can digest, they will give up the bad things. They will automatically, because this will become purified. You're attracted to lower things because of the modes of nature. As you become purified, then you have no attraction anymore. You know?
The amazing thing I found, because I have the CD, Manasamita, which you gave this person. So when I preach these things in the West...
You can't preach those things.
No,
because the point is Mano Samhita is only for Brahmas and Kshatriyas. It's only for Brahmas and Kshatriyas. It's not even for Vaishyas or Shudras. Because in its pure form, who's going to understand it? Just like law. You bring out a law book. Who's going to understand it? Lawyers and judges. Right? That's it. No one else is going to understand it. So for the common person, the law book that's on the shelf in a lawyer's office is not what's used. They use another form. You know, you're good citizens, so therefore we have some things that we do in this society. We drive on this side of the street, we do so many things, and they tell you about it, and they tell you stories about what happens if you don't follow it, and what happened to people who did follow it, and all these kind of things. Yeah, so that's the thing. Purana is what is used for the general devotee and anyone else. Manu is not used.
But it seems that the temple devotees are more difficult than when I preach to the Mahatmas. Of course, I'm preaching to the Hindus.
Yeah, because the Hindus, it is the culture. They have the religion without the philosophy. And even that they lose. But whatever. Devotees have the philosophy without the religion. See, because devotees, they don't know religion. Religion to them just means ritual. They don't understand that it means emotion. The ritual is there. It's all connected. So unless you've tasted emotion, you can't understand what is ritual.
They're afraid of emotions.
Then that's the problem.
So that means because what is that? What is that platform? Of the two, of karma and jnana, which is it? Huh? Jnana. Right. Hindus are in karma, Westerners in jnana. Therefore it says nirvishay shunyavadi. It doesn't say, you know, that he went to the West to save everyone from harm, being overly, you know, absorbed in, you know, smarta, rules and regulations and religious duties and like that. Right? Because they're afraid of these emotions. Because why? They want to enjoy. And they want to enjoy, you know, to exploit. And they don't want to be exploited. Because they're afraid. Surrender means I'll be exploited. Because if someone surrenders into them, they exploit.
It seems that, there is enjoyment and there's ananda, two different things. Like, because there's a lack of ananda, they try to compensate with sukha, when you're sukha, then...
Well, ananda is only transcendental. See, but even if sukh, you have the emotional sukh and you have sensual sukh. So Western only knows sensual sukh. Because emotional sukh doesn't make any money. Right? That doesn't, it means, as far as they see, the businessmen don't make money off of the emotional sukh. Except now and again, of course, you sell baby diapers off of emotion. You know, you have this mother, you know, bubbling with motherly emotion, and then you sell the baby diapers. But you don't sell the cigarettes off of emotion, you sell it off of sex. You don't sell the cars off of it, only off of sex. You know, everything else is just off of sex. So basically, that's all. Sometimes you get the fatherly thing, you know, maybe life insurance or something, you know, protect the family, you know, this and that. But, you know, how often do you see those on commercials? You know, and how often do they sell diapers on commercials? You know? So it's just sensual. It's just a thing. They're afraid of it. They don't know what it is. They haven't tasted it.
So it's difficult.
Yeah. That's why then you stick to the stories. At least to the story, maybe they'll catch the emotion. Like Ramayana is emotional. You know, Bhagavatam on the story, emotional. But they're emotion engaged in the Lord's service. Their dharma engaged in the Lord's service. So maybe from that they'll catch it. But then they'll say, well, that's there, not here. But it's going on right here, right now. I'll take you into one Hindu's house. You see it right this second. You want to see it? No. Even if you show them, then, oh, that's, you know, this or that'll change. They're just, no doubt. So what is that? Who is the person who tried for karma and didn't get it? What's the next stage? When you try for karma to get the fruit of jnana. Then when you try for jnana and don't get it, what's the next stage? Yes, atheism. What's the, you know, the proper, what's the full atheism? No. Which, because that's beyond. What's beyond that? Yeah, he's Buddhist. So, nirvishe shunyava. Right? Means you have attachment, envy, or attachment, fear, and anger. Right? Buddhism is anger. Right? Fear or envy is impersonalism. Right? And the other is attachment. But that's attachment to emotions. It means it's also, you can lower it down to the senses. Whatever. So you see, as they have attachment for the senses, not to the emotions. That's already been given up. You know, it does not practical enough. It takes too much time. Right? It means before, you know, you have to take the lady out to dinner, this, that, over a long period of time, then you may get into bed. Now it's just, you know, they figure out how to get into bed as soon as possible. So, you know, you get rid of all this emotional crap, get down to the essence. Right? So that's the whole thing. The emotional part is not there. And that's why they're so frustrated. That's why our own devotees are so frustrated. They don't know that it's the emotional platform that they're looking for. They think this one this, the leader's this, the this one that, that all it is just you perform the dharma, all the things they want is there. But you have to do that. You have to surrender. But they don't want to surrender. They want everything to be nice, so it's incompatible. It's incompatible.
I remember when I did.
So leave those things. Just get them to chant. Get them to, you know, follow the basic things nicely and just see whatever they're doing is for Krishna. You know, Okay, you want to wear Western clothes, but what is the basic principle? What does Krishna want you to be? Right? It means in the Vedic thing, it means people are gentlemen, right? So therefore, then they dress in the gentle Vedic way. Go to each other like this. You know, when we wear saris and the chastity and all that. So, okay, they want to wear Western, but then dress like a gentleman. Prabhupada said, a fine, up-to-date gentleman. He didn't say a fine, up-to-date punk. Right? He said gentleman. So therefore, go out and get yourself whatever gentlemen wear. Okay, you want to wear karmic clothes? Yes. But then why look like a punk? Then look like a gentleman. Okay. And according to the situation, okay, wear casual wear. Or if what you're doing you have to wear formal, then buy yourself a three-piece suit. You know, what's this jeans and baseball hat on backwards? What's that got to do? The gentleman don't wear that. They have to wear okay. The women, they go, okay, they want to wear. But they're also what high-class women wear. They wear more nice things. Movie stars, another thing. They're not there. Don't look at them. You see what the high class people, the bankers' wives and the other people who actually run the world, what are their wives wearing? You know, they're not wearing all this crap. They're wearing more elegant, high class stuff. Buy that. Wear that. Okay, you want to be Western too? You want to cook Western, fine, but you know, something that Krishna will eat, so it has to be vegetarian. Like that. It's like make your house so it can be as clean, usually, you know, Krishna likes it clean, so clean it. They have Western furniture, Western, but keep it, you want to have it rugged, fine, clean it. You know what I'm saying? So they can still, the principles, but the form of it won't be as, you know, nice, it'll carry that Western flavor. But at least the principles have to be applied.
This mentality that, well, you know, we're in the West, we, you know, wear these clothes and like this because we want to show people that we're not, you know, too far removed or, you know, we're not.
You're too far, but whoever, like, you go to New York, anybody aware what they wear in New York? Maybe the New Yorkers go. Bhadri Narayan and wear what, you know, what the people are wearing. So, what is removed and what's not removed? Hell's Angels are also part of the society. Bankers are also, I don't see our devotees, except for Sadaputa, I haven't seen our devotees in three-piece suits. The people who run this planet wear three-piece suits. So why aren't they wearing three-piece suits? You know what I'm saying? So what is this world? What is it that there is? What is that? So what it is they just live the life of what they grew up as. Whatever life they were as karmics and their parents lived, that's what they call normal. But for some people, it may not be normal. You go down south, you know, dressed in some modern fashion, and they may think, you know, that you're some weirdo. You know? You get one of those, you know, hicks with his jeans on and his cowboy, you know, shirt and his shotgun in the back window, and he may think you look real weird. You know, you're one of those city slickers. You know? So it just depends upon the situation. So to say there's one, it's not. So Prabhupada said, you know, if you want to dress, you're a Western gentleman. The people accept why. The priest dresses just in the latest up-to-date garb. The Dalai Lama dresses in the latest up-to-date garb. Everybody accepts them. Dalai Lama would be accepted as a bona fide person in any, you know, educated circle. Any educated circle. He doesn't compromise. The thing is, if we want to do, then they wear our own tradition. But our devotees don't even wear our own tradition. They don't dress as nice as many do, and many don't. You know, you have devotees out there. Some president doesn't care that the Brahmacharis have on two different colored socks and the copas hanging out the back, and, you know, the suit is untied, and so they look crazy. So why don't they dress them properly? Tie their sikha and, you know, make sure that they're wearing the dhoti and shirt properly, and they don't want to spend the money or time to train them. So whose fault is it? They don't know. We follow our own tradition. I've never gone anywhere and had anybody feel bad. Prabhupada didn't have anybody say anything.
Someone said, I said, why are you going out just like that? Well, you're just going down to the store to buy something, but they put on their jeans or something. Well, we don't want to be, you know, we don't really want to look at us and just, you know, just We can just be a normal person, blend in, and do what we want to do with them.
Yes, if they like that, I find it weird, because then you're working in their world of, you know, less greedy. It's like when you walk down the street in a dhoti, people are wondering, what's this? And they think it must be something spiritual, maybe weird, but they're looking at you like that. So you stay in your nice little spiritual bubble. But when you wear your karmic clothes, and they're looking at you like every other karmic. You know, how are you dressed? Are you someone to make friends with?
What's the mentality? It's fair?
I would say it's that. Sometimes it may work better, okay, but then dress like a gentleman. You know, if for them to do whatever service they have to do and people will deal with it, okay, do it for that reason. It's for the other person, not for yourself. You know, so it's just a matter. But there may be our attachment, but then still, do it according to authority. Dress properly. Don't go out in some funkily dressed. You know, as you go out, is it properly dressed?
It's a very nice point. I mean, brilliant, what you said. This Sigosi is actually for the community. Are you giving separate Sigosis? The grihastas?
It's supposed to be this. I don't know where it came from. And this one, I don't see the value of it, you know, because, I mean, the topic's fine. I mean, half the guys walked out, you know, so it's like, I'm going to tell them if the temple, if they're going to organize something, I'm not going to do it unless, you know, they ensure people stay, otherwise, what's the use?
Different programs going on in a certain village.
But then they should do it on another day. I mean, if this is important, then I got things to do. I could be doing so many other things. It's not just they dreamt it up, and then I'm supposed to come, you know.
It's because it's a very, you know, it's a very valid thing, that. Because we often hear that, you know, Prabhupada didn't say that. Prabhupada didn't mind that we dressed like this or did like that.
It's fine. But he didn't mind. But the point is how did he dress? How did his preachers dress? Right? So, okay. And how did the brahmacharis dress? Did Prabhupada actually want them to dress in karmic clothes when they sold books? No. If you look at the letters and everything, he didn't want. Then afterwards, when he found out results were good and this and that, and okay, and they could do. But he wanted to wear tilak. You know, he wanted to know we were devotees. But okay, you dress in like that, so they're not that. You know, then you know, whatever.
In Amsterdam, when people see us, or even far third place in Amsterdam and Holland, they still looking for the seven roads. So Hare Krishna is still existing.
Yeah,
also the seven
of course.
Roads.
New York also. I went. Because devotees never go out in devotee clothes. So I went to do some shopping. I was looking for a bag. So I got on the whatever they call it, over there, called it the tube or whatever, in the tram, you know, like metro or underground or, you know, something we got on. And then people come up, hey, you guys are still around. We haven't seen you for years. Where are you? You know? Like that. They want to see us. We're part of the scene. I mean, where are we not part of the scene? You know, that's the thing. In the big cities, we're part of the scene. What is this? Okay, maybe in Alachua, it's out in the middle of the neck. It's next to Tallahassee. Right? When I was a kid, the joke was, is, you know, someone, you know, was going to Tallahassee. It was like he was going to the moon. Tallahassee and Timbuktu. These are the two places that meant, you know, God only knows where it is. And even he's not telling. You know, it's just like the far most remote corners of the universe. Where's Alachua? It's the next town over is Tallahassee. So, okay, out in the middle of nowhere on the other side of the moon, okay, then maybe they do feel. But anywhere else where things are happening, I like the Haris like that. They're part of the scene. Clinton invited us to come for his inauguration at his first thing because we're part of the, you know, we were part of the scene when he grew up. We were invited to come for his inauguration, but the problem was his devotees being how spaced out like we are, then they just showed up on the night. They had to have come before and got the security clearances and the passes and all that to come in, so they didn't let him in. Otherwise, we would have been sitting right there and the whole world would have seen, you know, the Hare Krishnas along with him. He probably would have given a mention. You know? So the thing, we're an accepted part of the scene. It's just that devotees have to have that faith and just talk on our philosophy and tradition.
And there was a tourist advert to come to London and they had the picture of the Hare Krishnas. Chant doing things.
Yeah, doing that, yeah.
Big apple.
Yeah, part of the scene.
especially if somebody's like Amsterdam, that place is so weird.
But you have traveled all over the world. Many people would say that when they come to our temple, that this place is worse than New York. Is it really like that?
Amsterdam means the temple or the outside?
All outside.
See, also temple. Amsterdam, it's in a time warp. The clock stopped in the 60s. Yeah, no, it is. You see all the stuff and all this and that. It's the same as when I was a kid. It's the same. Same thing. Same pothead, same dress, same everything. It's just stuck in a time warp. Everywhere else it's kind of like a thing. You know, time has gone on, not a dance, it's gone on. But there it's actually still the same.
Here we have in our community, we have, like you mentioned, the two signs, the Gyan and the Karma sign. But like the managers, most of the managers are like, you know, the Bengalis. Right, so then we have to community here, predominantly Westerners. And there's, you know, they want to make the rules for the ashram. As soon as they make some rules here, they freak out over there. What's he going to do? A bunch of fanatics, you know, with a bunch of sannyasis controlling our lives.
If you make the grihasthas control the lives, it's even worse. You know, the sannyasis at least don't take any money from the project. You know. So the others what, take what, the money and build a big office and never use it. You know, you were running the library upstairs, no?
I was.
Yeah, okay. So those rooms that they built up there? Right? Did you see those offices they built? Yeah, you know, ACs and everything in there. I mean, it cost big money to build those. They were never used. Who built them? Sannyasis? Brahmacharis? No, the Hasis.
And I was understanding, this is the room, this time they used it. Never saw a library.
So the thing is that the grihasthas say all this, we don't really control the grihasthas. When they get in control, they're much worse. Much worse. If they're trained grihasthas, yes. But if they're not, you know, what's the difference?
Exactly, like you say, where's the money
that's
going to
go? It's all this talk is just fluff. You know, it's just smokescreen.
But in the meantime, what do you do?
The thing is that the problem is the brahmacharyas over here, they're making the rules, but they're making it from the platform of sentiment. They don't know. Can they explain why, or why it should be like that?
Because it's the culture, not the culture.
Yeah, but is baseball hats also part of the culture? They're wearing baseball hats. So therefore, that's the whole thing, is they get into some sentiment of what their mother did. Okay. But the thing is what they're letting the other guys do it. If they were so strict, let them control their own house. When their own house is exemplary, then naturally then these others will follow.
That's what they said in Chabad, they first clean up the brahmacharya.
Yeah, you get them cleaned up, and the grihasthas will think, wow, these are saintly people, and then they'll naturally follow. But you know, it's like they say you Westerners don't know how to behave, and then you see some guy. If Westerners, they don't know how to behave, but at least they know how to wear jeans, T-shirts, sunglasses, baseball hats. While you see these Bengali boys, they wear them. They don't know what they're doing. They look so foolish, you know. And it's not that people don't notice it, you know. They walk around and do all of this. It's not that no one notices. So if they were all like, where are the chuggers? Where are the chuggers?
Chuggers.
Yeah, where are the chuggers? They're so fucking Bengalis. Where are the chuggers? Few wear them. Naru, a few others wear them. Where are the rest of them? Where are the chuggers? You know, or why their hair is long? Why they have sikhas that are not our tradition? Why so many things? You know, let them do it or follow our tradition. Why are they singing the Western kirtans? Why are they using non-madanga beats? They're using dolak beats from Nepal, you know? They're not even using Bengali beats. They don't use the Bengali tunes. They don't dance like Bengalis dance. So they have plenty to do. So if they could follow and they could explain what they're doing, then they could get the grihasthas to do it. Grihasthas would love to be taught how to do it. A few, of course. But of the grihasthas here, I would say 85-90% would like to be trained and shown what to do and, you know, taken through the whole process and the questions and all that answered. And not to. But
they're not. They're just told that you do this, it's good, and if you don't do this, then you're in Maya. You know? Then you're in Maya. You know, but they themselves, how can they explain? You know? All their boys are, you know, what? They want visas. They want to come in the Pujari department. Why? Then they can go to the West, say, yes, I've been trained in Mayapur by Jananda Das. You know, they want to come learn yogis from us. Why? So they can go to the West, yes, I know yogis, this and that. They can get a degree. So, you know, what's the difference?
So, yes, that's why it's very nice that you explained like that, that the activity, you know, the transcendental side is transcendental, the service, but the other material reaction, it also, the result comes.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a very important point.
I would like to ask about this, but I couldn't understand. If devotional service absolute, how can you get any material reaction from that person? It's the motive, it decides if it's passion, if it's the motive, it's selfish, then it's passion.
Well, it's just like this. Okay, you go into the kitchen in a pure motive to cook for Krishna, and you want to cut a potato, and you have a good knife. Now, you get a good result from the potato cutting?
Yeah.
Okay, now if you use a hammer? Okay, there's nothing else in the kitchen. Okay, so you take a hammer and you smash the potato. Yeah, okay, so whatever. So, but you do it for Krishna. So the whole point is that it's up to Krishna how it works. You could be using inferior things and get a superior result. But as long as you yourself don't have any desire underlying it. But if you do have desire, then it may work in a particular way. Or because it's for Krishna, even if you're supposed to get a good result, you may not get a good result. Vyasa says, I did everything perfectly, why family is falling apart? Right?
Fall along the samskaras and got a girl.
Huh? Yeah, did all the samskaras, got a girl. Chanted 50 rounds, got a demon. Hare Krishna. You know? I remember one Guru Kulbo, I was telling his mother, I said, did you chant 50 rounds? And he says, yeah. He says, that's what good did it do you? He's saying about himself, you know. A lot of good it did you. You're funny.
It's also about children. When they see wild children, all these are 50 rounds.
Huh?
When they see wild children running in the Gurukul, so just another 50 rounds.
Yeah. But the thing is that 50 rounds is before, but still the moment of conception, they have to be Krishna conscious.
Then you have to think of the 50 rounds.
Yeah, but the problem is the tendency is because they've spent a whole lifetime before that 50 rounds, sex was for enjoyment. So therefore, when they do try to conceive the child, the habit is in the mood of enjoyment. So therefore you get a mixed thing. Is that kids are devotees underneath, but there's a kind of external mood of enjoyment. Is it the parents were into that mood?
Is it like demigods?
Demigods? Why? They're not into enjoyment? What are they doing up there? They're sitting around and chanting Hare Krishna? No, they're sitting around with naked women in parks all day. That's what they're doing.
See that
you understand?
Yeah.
So the
material reaction is like, if you're in the mood of goodness, passion, and ignorance, now we come from that background of goodness, passion, and ignorance, it's much easier if you come from the mode of goodness family to practice Krishna consciousness. You have crazy mind, crazy senses to work with. It's a problem when you're facing them. But if you're born in a family, or in a culture family, in motor goodness, it would be easy to follow this culture. So this is the material thing that goes side by side.
It's very easy. Otherwise, you know how to behave as a father or a mother. You know how to take care of your children because you saw your mother and father do like that. You saw. You know, there's some vestiges of it in the West, but it's called old school. And old school is very unpopular these days. I always thought old school was the predominant, new school was the small. But I've been re-educated that it's the other way around. Old school, it seems you have to go away.
But it was in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah, it was there, but even then it seemed to be going. Yeah, but this generations that you're preaching to now, it's like it disappeared then. It was on the way out then. in the next generation, there's many of them, they don't...
We're just rebelling against it.
Right? Yeah, yeah, and so we made sure that it didn't give any junk to our kids, right? So they don't know what a parent, you know, looks like or this or that, so it makes it very difficult. Intellectually it can be done, but then one really has to try and re-establish a habit, you know? If you have a bad habit, it's trouble to get rid of it. You have to really be conscious of it, but you can get rid of it, but it takes time. But then you have to know it's bad and know the techniques to get rid of it and know what's proper. Otherwise, if you just say, you know, it doesn't matter, then, and you just say, well, you just chant Hare Krishna, then great, then just chant and just don't worry about it. But if you're worrying why this, why that, and so many things, and why the management this, and why facilities that, that means you are worrying about it. You're not just chanting Hare Krishna. You want this artha, you want this kama, you want this, the result, the emotional support of the dharma. So then follow it. You know, you want it, do it.
Otherwise, just become a sadhu.
Yeah. Otherwise, just give it up and be a sadhu and don't worry about it. I mean, the Avantipur Brahman is not sitting there and go, what is this? You know, the sannyasi is the head of all the four orders and all that, and one's supposed to be respectful as all the local village boys are passing urine on his food. He wasn't saying that. He was just going, Krishna doesn't want me to eat today. You know? Sukadev Goswami was not chastising the boys that were throwing rocks at him and passing urine on him, saying, don't you know Paramahamsas are even beyond the Varnashram system? So just as you would respect a sannyasi, even more as a Paramahamsa. So why you're behaving like this? I don't care.
What's wrong with these parents training their children like this? To pass urine and throw rocks at me?
yeah. Where is this? Bring those parents. You know, the whole point is when you want to get out of here, then you don't worry about if everything here is correct in accordance with me. Right? You worry if you're a preacher, then you worry if it's correct for others so that they will be able to properly get the right development and right advancement. But for yourself, it doesn't matter. Because it'll never be right. Who can say all these things? Why this is happening? What did we do? Something only happens because you did something before. If you're nitya siddhas, okay, the Pandavas did nothing wrong, but it happens to them. But it's example for us. But it's happening to us because we did something. Right? Like that. We stub our toe, we did something, we deserve to stub our toe. You know, somebody gets on our case, which we shouldn't have been gotten on, because we got on other people's case when we shouldn't have. You know, we were exploited because we exploited.
Because we didn't follow the culture.
We didn't follow the culture. So therefore we broke Dharma, therefore we're not. Dharma always gives a good result. Has to give. Krishna can restrict or give or not according to what he wants. But then if we're understanding that, then it's what Krishna wants. Yatatata bhavidhata lokatoma prana. Whatever he wants to do. That's up to him. And if we want result, you follow it. Dharma gives artha. Artha gives karma. Bhagavatam doesn't recommend it. You do the dharma and worry about going back to Godhead. The artha and karma will come automatically. Whatever artha some of you are getting now is from previous. You're selling stickers now. You're getting the artha not from selling stickers. You're getting the artha from whatever you did before that it's coming now. In the future, you'll get the benefit of selling stickers. You know, so it's, I'm not sure exactly what's the return on selling stickers.
Engage in their money, and you can give a percentage to the temple.
Yeah, well, that's there. That's another thing. What you do with the result, that is the thing, is that's where your spiritual and future material prosperity is coming from.
And the families. And the people who bought them. They get some.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you use it for Krishna, or even if in your household it's done, you know, engaged, connected with Krishna, they'll get benefit. But, it's not as much as if it was given to the temple. But, you know, something has to be there. Otherwise, a grihastha life means something has to be indirectly engaged in Krishna's service. It's Krishna's order that's done. And if we can give up that attachment, then it's more direct. And if it's more attachment, so it's more indirect. But it's Krishna's rule, Krishna's direction, therefore it is connected. Just more, you know, wattage is lower, but it's connected. And the more the detachment's there, then the higher the quality.
But in any stage, there's rules.
In any stage, there's rules. I mean, write down anything. I mean, so many rules are there for having sex. So there's rules for that, passing stools, you know, passing urine, eating. So, I mean, you know.
Sleeping.
Yeah. So, yeah, sleeping. So, it's a, there's rules for everything. How you sit.
Just to survive, there's rules, eating, sleeping.
I mean, even the climbing world, so many rules are there. It's just they're used to that, and then they don't want to learn a new set of rules. Because no one explains it to them. You know, they've explained the top philosophical, it's been explained, but the connection between the two is not useful. Just it's supposed to be done for Krishna, but how technically that works, that should be explained.
You know, that's what I thought was very nice, very enlightening today.
Yeah, the example you give to the answer to my question you gave, that there is a material result and there's a spiritual benefit. I would say it seems contradictory, but then you see it right in front of your eyes. It's happening in ISKCON, divorces, but still they make some progress. Yeah. If you wouldn't have seen the example, I would say it's contradictory. It's how it works.
But because the point is spiritual is something different. That's the whole point. Spiritual is a different thing. But we only know material, so therefore we're being shown how to engage material in Krishna's service. But the essence of it is the service. Essence of it is the service. So that is what you're trying to get to. That's the difference between Raganuga and Vaidhi. Vaidhi is just, this is supposed to be done. You know, it's done. But it's being done for Krishna. But because the rule is there. Right? So it has that devotion in it, and you advance, you become purified. There's the aspect of the Nishkam Karma. Like that. But then Raganuga means is you understand the mood of pleasing Krishna is the most important thing in that whole applying the Vaidhi. Like, the Vaidhi is you have to be a Mangalarti, right? What's the explanation? Okay, for spiritual life, then whatever is done at that time in the morning is the most beneficial. You become purified, you do this, you do that, so many things. You establish a mode of goodness, you know, whatever is done at that time of the day, you get the most results, so many things. That's all liberation.
Fair.
Yeah, fear and liberation, yeah. That's knowledge, you know, fear. Then the other side is if you don't do it, then you'll be in ignorance and this and that, and so many bad things will happen. So that's combination. But, and because you're doing it to please Krishna, you're going because, you know, Prabhupada says you should be a Mangalarti, and the, you know, temple president says, and the temple commander, and, you know, the Shastra says, and all that. We're getting spiritual benefit is there. Then spontaneous means is that you understand, no, Krishna wants us there. That's why all this is there. That has been made a rule because Krishna wants us there. But if he just says Krishna wants you to be there, we may not go. You know, because Krishna wants us there, but I don't want to be there. Right? So when it comes to Krishna wants us there, that's why I'm there. That's spontaneous. It doesn't change the thing. It's not that we stop going to Mangalarti. Something spontaneous devotional service means we stop doing all this. No, it continues. But now the root of it is actually in place. You know, this is the sadhana bhakti that we're looking for.
At which stage can spontaneity already start?
Because it can start at any stage. But the point is generally it happens after anatta nivritti. Because as long as there's so much dirt in the heart, one will be distracted by all these things. So one will not do it because of the distractions, or one will do it out of fear of the reaction to those distractions. You know? In other words, karma is the main thing. Karma is the prominent. So either the fruits of the karma or the reactions to the karma become the And then, you know, jnana is there. Buddha yoga means is then the intelligence. You know that this is proper. So that's the other, that's the higher half of that. So that's the nishkam. So you have the sakam karma and the nishkam karma. And within that nishkam karma, then the spontaneous devotional service. That's the best. Because it's very hard to be spontaneous in sakam. because you're doing it for Krishna, but you're doing it for your own senses. Two don't go together. Right? So, and maybe they're here and there, but it should be steady. It should be prominent. So whatever is prominent means there's jnana in karma, misra, bhakti. But the karma is prominent. In jnana, misra, bhakti, karma is there, but the prominence is the jnana. You may be doing as much activity, you may even be doing more activity. But in your mind, it's the knowledge. You're seeing the workings of the modes of nature, you're thinking of, you're connecting everything to the philosophy. So that's the prominent thing, so it's called karma, misra. Otherwise, but it's the same, it's the same. And then when you get to the spontaneous platform, because that's the prominent thing, but the knowledge and the activity are still there, that becomes prominent. Then when you get to Brahma Bhuta, then the karma and jnana drop off. Because they're not necessary. Right? They're a symptom of conditioned life. So when conditioned life is over, then they also, with the conditioning going, they dissolve.
What stage do karma and jnana fall off?
Brahma Bhuta.
That means, if I analyze the stages...
It means liberation. Liberation, that's what they call
it. To what level does it correspond? Asakti or Nishta?
No, after Shakti, Bhava. Between Asakti and Bhava.
So when you're telling me that you can speak already of Raganuga, if you're on the Nishta level?
From the Nishta level, Nishta is Madhya.
There's two kinds of Raganuga? Because the one Raganuga starts as Asakti, but it's like a devotion. Raganuga.
Both, he says after Anartha Nivritti. But, see, Anartha Nivritti, there's two stages of it. So, the gross is at Nishta. Enough has been taken off that you become fixed in devotional service. Then, when more goes off that you get a taste, then that rag becomes a little bit more. Then a little bit more goes off, then asakti, attachment, so that raga increases. But it isn't really into Brahma Bhuta that the anartha nivriti is really complete. So that's where you can say the real raga mudra starts. It's already started before, but it's very general. Right? You understand? So it's just a matter of it's been awoken. But it's not strong. Therefore, it's called spontaneous. It's Raganuga Sadhana. It's still not Raganuga. Just like it's still not Bhakti. Right? Sadhana Bhakti is Sadhana that has been engaged, that is touched by Bhakti. Right? But technically, it's not devotee yet. You're aspiring devotee. Right? Bhava is the bud, is the beginning. So at that point, then you can start saying, now we're getting serious. But still, technically, if you really want to get down to it, still it's not devotee. Devotee is prema.
What's prema, we can say?
No, prema. Yeah. Means you can be acting within that sthayibhav, but it's the quality in which gopis are in their spiritual forms and they're there with Krishna. But he's leaving the rasa dance. Why? Because it hasn't come to that level yet. When he disappears, then all whatever is left burns off. Then when he comes back, then they're ready. And those gopis that didn't get to go, then that's even more. There's still, you know, something left from their karma and jnana, and from their pious and impious activities. A very slight trace. It's just the example is given, it's like you have a box with hing in it. You dump out all the hing and wash it, it still smells like hing. There's no hing in it. But the flavor of it is still there. So in Bhava, you still have the smell of the conditioned existence. So that has to be gotten, the smell has to be gotten rid of. Then it turns and matures into prema.
It seems like bhakti is the only path in which after liberation there's still kind of some kind of suffering there. Like the gopis, they blame Krishna, that even you're testing even us for
but it's on the transcendental platform. See, what's happening there is transcendental. Yeah. Because the point is if we're only working about suffering, then that means our goal is liberation. no suffering, which means that we're conditioned by goodness, which means jnana, which means it's jnana nisra bhakti. You understand? I'm just saying that as an example. I don't want to harass you. But you understand my point? It's because, therefore, that angle, because rasa is something else. Right? Rasa is something else. Kunti is saying, let these things happen, because then we're relating to you. Alright? Okay. For a father, the child starts crying and passes stool and urine. Then, this is an exciting moment. Yes? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. I think you don't know much. But for the mother it is, because that's where she can relate to the child. The child's dependent, so she can exercise and enact that relationship. But the father, he doesn't know what to do with this thing. So for him, it's not rasa. So his rasa is handing the child to the wife. And providing the wife with diapers and powder and all those things. So that's his rasa.
Nope. He's going away, the father's going, oh.
Yeah.
The mother's going,
eh. Yeah, yeah. Because the whole point is this is where the rasa can be manifest. So rasa is the essential point. It's not the externals. It's not the situation. The situation just adds to that. It just adds to it. You understand? So all these things, if you dig inside, it's actually rasa and these internal things, what people do. We'll say, you know, karmas and materials, and why are they materials? Right? Husband, you know, wants wife, this, that, so many different things. But why? Because the emotions, the emotional support, that emotional exchange, that's rasa. Wife, she wants house, this, that, so many millions of things. And you say they're so materialistic, but what for? The security and all those things. Because, you know, the children, relationship, then you need facilities to take care. So ultimately it comes back to rasa. Can't get away from rasa. Why does the impersonalist want to merge into Brahman? He wants rasa like anything, can't get it, therefore sour grapes. So his whole platform of enjoying the impersonal is because the personal is so bad. So it's still nourished by karma. His jnana isn't nourished by karma. And then when you get tired of that, then you go to voidism. But it's still nourished by karma and jnana. But bhakti is not nourished by either of them. It's nourished from itself. Bhakti gives bhakti. It's a separate, separate thing.
But this thing with the father doesn't accept the child. If you see these things in the West, they'll attack you or protest them. Yeah.
Depends how you say it. Just depends upon how you say it.
I repeated a few things you mentioned, but I had to
But you have to say it the way I say it.
You see, I just not repeated like you repeated it. I always try to argue with its philosophy.
That's the thing, is just when you're saying these points, you have to say it from the platform of emotion. Then you'll buy it. It's just the way it is.
I asked Wilson a question. He said that I give an example of a woman in the West being a truck driver. I got to Sagrada and then big truck came and I said, oh, big strong guy will come on. And a woman came on. First of all, shot. And even some people around me were also going to use this. They show up in the truck and put the stick in there and loading it. And then I asked you this question that there seem to be women who can act like men.
Yeah.
I said, however it is, but if you put even a tougher man there, she will come home.
Yeah.
So I said that they got a lot of attack.
Tell him that the attack list says, yeah, but who are you? Are you a truck driver? So then how can you talk? So tell him the point is that everybody is looking for someone they can relate to. Everyone's looking for someone they can relate to.
Well, I found a philosophical example that Draupadi was beating down Kshatriyas. It's also very manly, Draupadi. So, but if you put 500...
Manly, it's powerful.
It was Kshatriyas. He's also Kshatriya. If you put a Pandava there, she becomes very submissive and woman.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's there. That's the whole thing. Is that point is that,
but
that
she wasn't when they didn't defend her.
Yeah. She was having
blasted.
But at the same time she still did it from according to custom. She didn't break that. She didn't she chastised them within the culture. She didn't break the culture.
No, I mean, like she beat down that Jayadrat who tried to grab her on the rat. The beings chased him. She beat down Jayadrat.
No one else should help her.
The point is the ladies are doing what they're doing because the men are there. And it's a lot easier to get the men to go out and get everything than to go and get it yourself. Right? But if no one's going to get it for you, they'll get it themselves. Who runs this material world? Right? So then, they're quite capable to get it. But, in getting that, there's no rasa. So the rasa is getting the men to get it. So the whole thing is that's the whole thing is you can get yourself, but they'll be frustrated. Just like the man, because we don't need these women. They go off himself, but he gets frustrated. He has to be with the women. The women will say, we don't need these men. And they'll get frustrated. Because if you're man, you have to have woman. And if you're woman, you have to have man. If you're neither, you don't need either. Right? Sukadeva Goswami is not a man, not a woman. He doesn't need either.
But you need association, isn't it?
Yes, so he associates with other spiritual persons. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It means if you're in the middle, then it's balanced. But if you take man this way, how much manly it is, so how much woman it has to be. You understand? If you're so much man, then you need women this much. Because they go together. Right? Something that's hotter, you need more coal to bring it to the middle. So a heavier man needs a heavier woman. Or vice versa, a heavier woman needs a heavier man. You know, I've seen it myself, practically. I saw one lady, she used to take care of, I saw her move boxes, this big, wooden boxes, full of lighting equipment. You know, all these big lights here, these kind of things. She would set them up, take them down, pack them in the boxes, load the boxes on the truck. I saw her pick one up and just throw it. You know? And all these other men are taking them, pushing them, two or three of them. She just picked them up herself. Tough lady, tough, tough lady. And she was always tough. Didn't matter who it was, she was tougher than nails. And one day, some guy came along. And you see her now, and she's just like a little pussycat. And she's happy. Before she was frustrated. Now she's very, very happy.
How do you get these realizations?
Well, you see it in Bhagavatam. Hear the philosophy, and you associate with sadhus like Janani Vasa and Pukajangri here. That's the essential thing. Just that you happen to be living in Mayapur where they are, then you get blessed.
Sometimes, because when you live in Krishna West, you might become a little bewildered because it seems that things are not working according to the principle because they don't agree with that.
No, but the thing is it's not that you are convincing them. Right? They want to hear something, so we are an instrument for Krishna to discuss these things with them. So if you think you're going to speak and you're going to convince them, then Krishna may prove that you are wrong. But if you're doing it to please Krishna, then you can do so many things. Even yourself, you don't know how it's working. But if you want to be the doer, then yes, okay, then do it. Yes, go ahead. Like the little kid says, yes, I'll do this and that. Okay, go for it. And when he can't, then okay, then father comes in, others come in. So that's the thing.
I have actually a question regarding maybe a strange topic, but because it's very prominent in the West, especially in Amsterdam, there's something called Tritiya Prakriti.
Tritiya
Prakriti. third nature.
There's something called?
Yeah, Tri Prakriti.
Tritiya means how you think saying there's something as a person? Or?
Well, it's what you call a eunuch. But the Vedic.
Oh, okay.
No, the Vedic system has kind of also side with this. The reason I'm asking this question is Amsterdam, I didn't know this, but some person told me this, that Amsterdam is the capital for this kind of people. The first, second, the male, female. The Tritiya Prakriti is when you can neither speak of male or female because there's so much overlap in each other. It's like you find a female, she's male inside.
It's in one sense, but totally not. The brain still is female, but they'll use it, just the that kind of mood is
strong. I can give an example that it's female, but they look female. But there's so male inside that they're not attracted to male.
That's another thing. That's just called.
And Amsterdam's full of it.
Yeah. No, that's different. That's different.
So, but how do we deal with this?
Hey, you just talk to philosophy.
Can they live with ashram?
No. It depends if there's some of it, but you have to see.
Bombay is also full of them.
Yeah, better you have your own. Better they have their own ashram.
You see, when I was saying these things about male, female, you all mentioned it. That person was the first person to object. And I was wondering, why do they object?
Yeah, just said, tell us how to listen. Mind your own business. You know, just,
you know, just, if you don't know.
Just say, it's just an area. So you have to, I don't know. You have to see. I can't see. Unless you're there, it's hard to see. Generally with them, I talk on another platform, just the soul.
Yeah.
Just talk on that platform. We're neither male nor female. Soul is transcendental. So therefore we want to learn to work on the platform of soul. But someone like that, best thing is that people stay in their houses. They're already working, they're already doing this and that, and they're coming to the temple. Let them stay like that. Those that be in the temple should be those that can really dynamically help others. But for their own benefit, they'll probably do better at home anyway. Because then how much they want to be at the temple will be there only that much. But if they live in the temple, then they're there more than what they want to be there. So only those people that can be in the temple 24 hours and be dynamic and actually be exemplary and help others, they should be there. And then everybody else should be in the community. That way then it doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about these things. And like that at the house, they keep their friends like that. They're celibate, not celibate, who cares? It's their problem.
Yeah, but if you're devoted to their initiative, they're taking the vow of four principles.
Yeah, but the point is that if they're like that, and they're living in their home, and it's coming up from there, then, like that, then if they're confident that they can maintain celibacy, then okay, then they make it first initiation, and then you leave it for some more time, and you see, then if it works, then second. Because there's no reason. Sense gratification has to be given up. So what your sense gratification is with, that's another thing. That doesn't matter, it has to be given up. But why start them in the temple when you can start them outside? Only move into the temple those people that really you can see deserve to be in the temple. You have standards in the temple that they'll always maintain. Plus, see that the standards in the temple are good also.
You've been in Amsterdam once, haven't
you? I think twice. It's a unique place. More unique is Antwerp. Antwerp's going to be fun. They have the temple. They have down the first floor. Is like, I think the temple's there, one half. The other half is like this huge kitchen and eating hall. And everybody just comes and goes as they like and makes what they like and eats what they like and cooks what they like.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's a boarding house. And even, I think, one of the rooms when I was there is hired, rented out to some outside boarder. He also comes there and makes things, eats and stuff. That's all vegetarian. Like that. And then, the temple president's wife, and she cooks some things, all nice, organic, wholesome, how you say, nutritional, according to the latest. What's that kind of food called? Natural food? No, not that. Just the general thing. She's a nutrition freak. So all that, according to this, not just sugar, not that, all this, so it's really
It's a very unique place.
See, this person who I was speaking to, it's like a very sad case with this group, the third project. But she's a devotee, and she said that, you see, I can neither be a brahmachari, or a brahmacharini even, because if she cannot, she's male.
But then, she just lives in her place,
the thing is,
and goes to a job, makes some money, and in the morning and evening comes to the temple, and on the weekends spend the whole day at the temple and do service.
We're not really a shelter. You want regular people, or normal people in there. We're a mission, you know. We can't carry all these weights and fruits.
Because the point is she going to behave in a certain way? See, if you're going to live in the temple, she has to behave in a certain way. She's in a female body, so therefore others are going to think she's a woman, and therefore she has to act in such a way. It's just the etiquette. So if she's just going to be one of the boys of the boys, then... You know what I'm saying? She's going to not act like properly. But because she has a feminine body, she's going to attract the minds of the boys. And then if the boys, you know, try to get too close to her, she's going to slug them in the head, which is not really Vaishnava etiquette. It's not proper that they move in on her either. But the point is it's not that she doesn't put out feminine vibes. She says she's male, but still, when that consciousness comes through the particular form of the skin she has and how she moves, they may move in a more manly way than most women, but they're still women. The dogs still moves like a dog, but you can tell the difference between how a male dog moves and a female dog moves. Right? The vibe, the look, everything is different. So she is a female. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, then they will have to dress in a particular way and behave in a particular way. And others then should behave properly. The problem is the men don't behave properly. So therefore, it makes it very difficult for women to behave properly. Right? Because women are supposed to be sheltered by men. So if the men don't act properly, how are women going to act properly? So that's what I'm saying. This is just easier than they stay outside, you know, and they have an apartment. They can get together with a few other devotees. You know, they do that, and, you know, the Bengali boys do that in America. Ten of them, one apartment, each one pays, you know, $10 a month rent, and then they all work, so then they're rich. You know, so whatever, you get a few people, and then they live there, and they have their jobs, or whatever it is, however they maintain themselves. And then there's always time off, and then they spend all that time in the temple. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a very simple, nobody's disturbing, nobody would even notice that she's from the third planet. She goes perfectly. She's my senior, so she initiated before I was.
Yes.
But the problem is this, they have an emotional disturbance.
Yeah, and then who's supposed to take care? It's supposed to be some man. That's the point. They're emotionally disturbed.
I think she was saying that, like, she can either be in a brahmacharini because she goes attached to a female, she can either be in a brahmachari ashram because she has a female body, and neither can she get married because if she ever... Well, if it's a connection, well, it's sinful because there will not be a child from that.
So but besides that, is it would be
happy. What life can you have?
Therefore, you chant Hare Krishna and go back
to
God.
You're about to be an ashtakan, even if you don't want it.
No, that doesn't mean to say she's afraid from sex.
No, that's the thing.
Right? Yeah.
But she knows, having taken the vow, being second initiated, that if ever I will make a relationship, then I will be sinful. So the one option is the option. There's no option.
We had one devotee in Sweden. He was a devotee for 15 years in the temple. And now when Hare gets left, he realized that actually he was a woman. And he made a sex change operation.
These things happen to us.
Well, the girl used to come every day for a long time, and suddenly she didn't come for a year, and next time she came as a man, said, I want to join. And the Brahmacharya said, no way, she's going to move in. She had a physical operation. So she said, wait a minute. The next day she came with her boyfriend, her girlfriend, who used to be a man. So she said, these things are going
to happen. Yeah, so that it means they should just live together. And do service.
It's too weird. It's too much of a problem to manage.
The thing is, in the Manusmriti, the course, there is some rules regarding this though Max will translate it wrong, but there is mention of Tiki Prakriti, even Brihanala Arjun. That is the term is coming from.
Yeah, but they don't live in the temple.
They live outside the temple.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
It means, just like you have it, how much space is in the temple? You make another ashram, they can live in that ashram. But just they work, they take care of this, that, whatever it is. Or they do full-time service and give some money, but they don't have to stay in the same room as others. Because the point is, if they stay with other women, that's going to be a problem also. Because they may fall down with them. And if they stay down with the men, they may not get disturbed, but the men will get disturbed. So therefore, we have another place where they can stay.
But that's the solution is made.
It's just like someone asked, there was a thing about the gays and homosexuals in my airport. Then, but some people were saying, well, if they're not practicing, that's okay, we can admit them.
Sorry?
If they're not practicing gay, then that's okay. Some one of the devotees here was saying, it's okay, they're not practicing. But that desire is there. So how can you actually put them in the Brahmachari ashram?
Yeah, it's very difficult. It means you could put them in the Brahmachari ashram, there'd be no problem.
They won't say it when they join. They join, they get initiation, and after...
My point is that that's why then people stay outside for a while. Let them stay outside for a while. And just continue in that position. You know, things aren't like what they used to be in the 60s. That if you didn't move into the temple, you know, you couldn't function. Because, you know, the family is in the different situations. Especially in Amsterdam, you can sit there and do whatever you want. No one's going to say boo. Right? So if you're, you know, whatever you're doing to maintain yourself, and then you come to the temple for, you know, so much time, then you get to know people.
Most of the devotees in this kind of congregation get outside the temple.
So if you start with them outside, in other words, you work on the principle that everyone's going to be, basically most everyone's going to be congregation. And then a few may be temple devotees. Rather than everybody should be temple devotees, and those who are bozos, then they become congregation. It's not a good system. The system is generally, everyone will be congregation. But there are those who will thrive better. They'll be able to be congregation. But they would do better as temple devotees. And not only, and the better means they'll be better for others. They'll be able to inspire others. Like that. Just because they themselves personally will do good, okay, that's one thing. But they will be able to preach and inspire others. Because how good can you make a temple? Right? So if the temple only holds 10 people, then those 10 people should be able to inspire hundreds of people outside. But otherwise, if you got 10 people in there, and you know, the temple president has to worry all day about all the crazy things that they do, then what's the use? And then other people who live outside aren't going to be inspired. Why will they give money for those wild people? But if those 10 people are very exemplary and come and do programs and, you know, like that, then why don't you get some money? So then you don't have to worry about maintenance, you just preach. And you have to, then everybody in the temple has to be a preacher.
Should be all the devotees in the temple, they should be actually good quality devotees.
Because if this lady is like that, then still keep her in her own place. Because if she's with women, she'll get agitated. If she's around the men, they'll get agitated.
I kind of draw a lot of information from her. Like, she told me how this kind of whole society, right? They have their own society. And she told me, like, Amsterdam is the capital for this kind of people. Like, it's the place they come from all over the world. But, you know, I was, like, blind. So if you're not of one of these third countries, you won't notice anything. Like, I never noticed anything.
So let her preach amongst her own men?
Yeah. They can preach.
It seems like a very sad
the
thing.
Temple used to preach to the temple.
If you're very young and you don't recognize that you are different, then she was telling me that the suicide rate among them was 4 times higher.
Then
the others.
Yeah, so then she can preach to them and make them
devotees. It means they're already all disturbed.
You don't want that. The thing is, she was complaining that in India, in the Vedic culture, it's not like that. In India.
Yeah, but in the Vedic culture, then they will.
They're auspicious.
They have a place to go.
When Krishna appeared.
Yeah, but they didn't live in the temple.
No, that's true, yes. But said also that some of the Naishtika brahmacharis in the temple, they were Naishtika because they were the temple.
Whatever, but But they weren't you know, interested in gay rights.
Well, it's a modern thing.
A modern problem.
But that's the problem.
It's a problem.
Yeah. But the thing is,
the
like
point is a nice speaker means that if it's not necessary. I think that that's a wrong.
Not by
definition. No.
But where is the basis of that statement?
The thing is, I gave an article with all video posts from different shots of some, I don't know, it was a big article.
Yeah, but who wrote the article?
It was without name.
Huh?
It was a person without name.
Yeah, but then, what was the purpose of the article?
That they wanted
to validify that it's okay to be one of us.
Yeah, that's all. So the thing is it's their interpretation of that. And there's nothing that talks about that. It's not that things like that didn't happen. But they have to also understand this, because in the Vedic culture, where you know sense gratification is not just freely available on the street, you know, I mean, with a capital S, like in Amsterdam, it's on the street, you know. So here, therefore, sometimes they would get involved in illicit activities, unnatural activities between men and men or women and women. But it's not that that's their preference. Right? So that's also a misunderstood point of the Western mentality. Right? So just because it happens, Manu mentions that. You know? Durga talks about it also. But it's not natural. It's not what they're, it's just they got lusty and you know, just that's what happened. So that's different. That's different than this is their preference. Shastras don't talk about that at all. Shastras don't talk about that. So that's not what's being mentioned. So your Naistika brahmacharis aren't that. If that is their thing, they wouldn't be Naistika. Right?
Well, the reference was given that some of these people were employed as Naistika pujaris in temples in ancient India, Vedic India.
What do you mean in Vedic India? Employed in temples, what does that mean? So you don't in Vedic India you don't employ nobody.
Brahmins, yeah.
Not employed.
Brahmins doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. So what is this Vedic? What are we talking Vedic India?
Well, wait, Hindu.
Maybe in Hindus.
Because all the temples are Hindu.
Yeah, but we're not talking about, you know. Yeah. We all move in. There's so many temples in India, I'm sure would take them if that's what they're interested in. They're talking about the spiritual platform, and that's something else. You have to be able to discriminate between Vedic and transcendental. Vedic is the best thing to engage in the transcendental, but just because it's Vedic doesn't mean that on its own is transcendental. Technically it is, because that's what it means, but it's how it's applied doesn't mean. So the way the Hindus apply it doesn't mean that that was correct. Just because you can find in some case that, you know, this king did this or this queen did that, it doesn't mean that that's the standard. Maybe they did it. But then why did it? What's behind that? You know?